Welcome to Lakeside at Home. I am Pastor Andrew. Thanks for joining me. This week we are talking about reconnecting to ourselves. It's the second part in a series called Reconnect. Last week we talked about reconnecting with others, and I invite you to listen to that if that is something that you are struggling with quite a bit these days, as many of us are. This week we are going to talk about reconnecting to ourself, and that might seem amorphous. It might not be super clear what I'm meaning, but I hope that as we continue a little bit, you find some places of resonance in there. Last week, one of the things that I talked about was how over the past year and a half, there has been a lot of isolation and a lot of depression, a lot of anxiety, caused by just the situation in the world, which has seen so many important and difficult things come to light and be a part of our national discourse, our community discourse, our family discourse, and our own hearts. And so it hasn't been an easy time to stay calm and to stay peaceful, and that there's been a lot of increase in terms of anxiety and depression and all sorts of things over the last year and a half. So when we talk about reconnecting to ourselves, the experience that I want to really highlight there is a feeling that I know I have felt, and I have heard others resonate with this, which is this feeling that in some way we just aren't ourselves. Like, we are doing the things that we do, but we feel that maybe you're one step behind where you felt like you should be or maybe you're doing a lot of the things, you just don't feel content or peaceful in that, or maybe it's just harder to even to grasp than that, and it's just more this feeling of not being yourself. And so that's what I wanted to zero in on this week, this feeling of not being yourself. We know that in some ways this is big, that this is something that is affecting a lot of people. And just like last week, I want to spend some time saying that if you're feeling this way, I don't think you're alone. And it's hard to measure, of course, ideas like you don't feel right. But I think we can look at some of the data we do have about habits and say, hey, something is changing for people in the way they're living their life. So according to one study I read, as much as one third of Americans are drinking more over the last year and a half. And that is a separate study said that is not just drinking more, but drinking, excessive drinking, far more often. And that tells us something. That tells us that people are not acting and feeling the same as they were before. And I'm not saying that like all forms of drinking are bad or anything like that, but yet when we see that kind of increase, we ask ourselves, you know, are people feeling at home in their lives right now? 42% of Americans have gained weight in the last year and a half. Also talks about changes in habits, and habits are so important for feeling ourselves, and so people are changing. 56% of Americans have faced some sort of insomnia, and two-thirds experiencing delayed sleep. We've seen that there's been a 34% increase, according to one website that specializes in divorce papers, and the amount of people requesting their services. So there's a lot breaking down in the terms of how we live and what we do and how things, there's kind of a breakdown in the way we live our lives. We've seen that at our church. I would say our church attendance, that means the people coming to Sunday worship, is about 40 to 50% of what it was 2 years ago almost at this time. So that habit, that connection that people had to their community and to their self and God, that is breaking down. And I've heard, and we're going to talk more about that in a couple of weeks, but I've heard many people use the phrase, I feel disconnected. And then we see all of this just as indicators that people are living their life differently and perhaps not the way that they would want to live it. But regardless if any of those things fit you, you might think to yourself, just what is it, or how do I feel, I should say, about my life? Do I feel connected to who I am and who I want to be? And do I feel a deeper purpose at work in my life? Or do I feel disconnected or somewhat lost, storm-tossed, as sometimes put, kind of reacting and moving from one thing to another? And if that describes you, then that I think you can join with me, regardless of whether you've had any big behavioral shifts or not, in a desire to reconnect to who we are. So this disconnection from who we are is not something that is new in the pandemic. And many of you might feel like perhaps it has been heightened in this past year and a half, but it might actually describe a way that you have felt for a very long time, maybe as much as you can remember, that you have felt not quite right, a rumbling in your soul, so to speak. We want to address this not just simply as a rebuilding habits, which there's lots of good ways to do that and evidence to do that. And I think that's different from everybody else. I know for me, you know, I've been able to begin that process of rebuilding those kinds of habits by kind of starting very small and moving very incrementally, kind of 1% change day after day, that kind of idea. That works for me. It may not work for you. But because this is a church and we're talking about spiritual matters, I wanted to address kind of the spiritual condition more than the practical steps of those habits that we rebuild. And so just to encourage you, as we will later on, to start that process. But let's look at that spiritual aspect, what's going on here, because it's something that is bigger than just this moment. So the Apostle Paul wrote a letter to the church in Rome. We call it Romans. And in the 7th chapter of that, he has a very influential discussion, I should say, at the kind of war that we have in our own hearts. And just to set this up a little bit for those of you that might not be familiar with Paul and the questions that he's talking about and answering, he's going to talk a lot about the law. And you might go, well, what is the law? Does he mean like what police enforce? No, that's not what he's talking about. So it's a bigger concept than I can go into Paul the way he understands and talks about the law today. But it is the religious, so ritual and ethical laws of the Jewish people. So he is a Jew, so this is something that is called the law, and it basically represents for Paul the way God wants us to live, right? So when you are not following the law, you are disconnected from God's intent. And so for us, we could say, look, this is the deep purpose of our life, the reason for our life, the way we should is kind of represented by, or the way we should live is sort of represented by this law. So he talks about this law on the inside, but then he talks about a second law, and he's using this in, even though there isn't really that, but this disconnect between what he knows that he should do, this law on his mind, what he knows he should do, and this law in his body, which is the way he's talking about how he actually is. So it's a disconnect between his habitual self, his self as he actually lives, and the self that he wants to be. And so that's that disconnect. And this is what he says. So I find that as a rule, I do, when I want to do what is good, evil is right there with me. I gladly agree with the law on the inside, meaning he knows what he should do and he's agreeing on it. He said, hey, this is what I should do. But I see a different law at work in my body. It wages war against the law of my mind and takes me a prisoner when the law of sin that is in my body. I'm a miserable human being. Who will deliver me from this dead corpse? It's a very poignant part, and that whole kind of chapter around that, actually the whole section, is very powerful and incredibly transparent, I think, for a saint like Paul to write about the internal struggle of following the law of faith and striving, in some sense, to be who God wants us to be. And that's a war, I think, that is probably something that many of you know about and know entirely, this feeling of desiring this one thing and doing this other thing, striving to do this right thing and failing and doing this other. How many times have you, for example, over the past months or years, perhaps, said, hey, this is what I'm going to do. This is how I'm going to be different. I know what I need to do. I'm going to do this thing. I'm going to live this way. I'm going to act this way. We're going to go to church every week, or we're going to give ourselves to service, or I'm going to, you know, eat better, or I'm going to drink less, or I'm going to do all these things. I know what I feel like I need to do. I agree that this is what God would want me to do, and this is what I actually do. That disconnect. And how do we feel? So we gear up for striving once more for something that we feel like we never attain. Well, he says, I'm a miserable human being. Who will deliver me? I know when I go through that, one of the things that happens to me is I just don't feel like doing it anymore. And it can be resignation. You can get to a place of resignation. I just say, gosh, I just am, you know, then I am what I am, or I am who I am, or, you know, whatever, you know, kind of comes in. And some of that's very positive, as we'll see, but there's something deeper there. This disconnect lingers within us. So I'm going to introduce a concept that you've heard before, but I hope that it might shed some light on understanding this, and that's the concept of sin. So he talked about that. And there's a lot of different ways that people use the word sin, and one of the ways that it can be understood is this being, this living in such a way that we are disconnected. It could be a way that we would put it, like, so living disconnected from God's intent and God's purpose and the love of God, disconnected from that love of God, that purpose of God. And what happens when we are disconnected from that is that we don't see clearly and we don't feel clearly. There's a disorderedness to us, is a way that Christians talk about this. It means that, you know, we have a lot of the things in our life, but they're disordered. The priorities of our life are disordered. And because of that disorderedness, that distortion of what we truly are, we exist, and yet we don't live in the love and grace and peace of God. And that's the result of that disconnection. So I want to jump into that a little bit further and say that when we look at our lives, we look at that disconnect and say that part of what we are feeling, that desperation that we are feeling, that desire, that striving that we are feeling, is living a disconnected life, from God. And so reconnecting to ourself is reconnecting to God. And we're going to talk more explicitly about reconnection to God a little bit later, but that very idea that reconnecting to ourself is reconnection to God is super important. So Methodists, we have this idea of understanding this image of God. So in Genesis, it talks about how humanity is created in the image of God. There's a lot of ways to understand that, but one of the ways that we do is that we have the capacity within us, the God-given capacity to live a connected life, but that sin has disconnected us, or we say kind of distorts the image, so that it's almost like looking through a funhouse mirror now, and things don't quite look how they should look, and all sorts of things. And so our purpose in our relationship with God, it slowly begins to kind of reshape and remold us until we can see accurately and see clearly and no longer live in a kind of distorted, disconnected way. It helps us to reorder our lives, what our priorities really need to be. And that reordering of priorities is a lot of what reconnection to ourself actually looks like. So what does it mean then to reorder our priorities? And one of the things that I want to be very clear about is when we look back at that feeling of disconnection, one of the things that we often feel is that striving. What I talked about, that kind of desire, I need to be this, I need to do that, and then this sense of failure and resignation when we don't become those things. And what's difficult is in our distorted understanding of things, how we see things as a result of our disconnection, we view that striving as trying to be closer to God. We imagine that we can strive our way to grace, that we can work our way to grace, that if we get our act together, grace will be real in our life. The message of Jesus Christ and the gospel, though, is very different than that. And so let's look. So instead of this place of disconnection and striving our way to reconnection, let's look at what Paul says in the next chapter here. He says this, laying on my computer there. So there isn't any condemnation for those who are in Jesus Christ. the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. God has done what is impossible for the law, since it was weak because of selfishness. Through Jesus Christ, Paul is arguing that need to strive is no longer how we should live. What we live as his people, are people who are not striving, but people who are accepting, surrendering to be remade in Jesus. Now, it might seem like there's not a huge difference there, but it's all the difference in the world. Because instead of striving in our disconnected way for priorities that aren't really the ones, they may look like they're the priorities of God, but they are not. We instead surrender to reconnect to that deeper love and allow that process of change within us to begin. So we begin to reconnect to God and reorder our hearts. Reconnect to ourselves, you can say. So what does that reconnection look like? Well, that's actually one of the areas that the Bible is ridiculously clear in terms of what reconnection to Jesus Christ and his goal and mission in life is. And he says it so many times. He talks about it, Matthew 22, for example. He's like, hey, what the people come up to him like, hey, what's the point of all the law and all of this stuff? What is this all trying to do? And he says, he takes something from Leviticus and Deuteronomy, and he says, hey, look, it's about loving God, and it's about loving your neighbor as yourself. So it's that love enacted, that love that is the love of God and the Holy Trinity. There's this constant spiral and motion of love that we get caught up in that love. That's what it means to be reconnected. So it's about enacting that love in our life. And then he tells his disciples a little later, they're like, hey, I have one rule, and this is the commandment that you need to keep, and that's to love one another. So in the Bible, in Christianity, we can talk often, something that we talked about the last series that we did, that this is a group of people that really talked about love a whole lot as the way that we reach God. And so that God reaches to us is the way I should have said that. But the love of God that pours into us and changes us and that we get drawn up into is really what this whole thing is about and spills out from us into this world. So it's this reconnection, this connecting of us to God, us to the world, that in God, therefore to the world, and all of this kind of dance of reconnection and love that is the purpose of this whole thing. It's an experience, a place of joy. It's an experience of peace. It's all of these things. And so what does that look like to increase love? Well, it's one of those things where it's something that isn't an idea first, right? It's an action first. It's a habit first. It's a slowness first. It's a question first. You know, how can I right now enact the love of God? What can I do in this interaction that holds up that desire for love? How can I talk to myself in a way that is loving? And what begins to happen as you begin to let that quest for love, that acceptance of love, that acceptance that that grace and love is enough and is actually in your heart, well, that begins to change things. The Bible talks about new birth, when we sort of set aside that striving and despair to take on that grace and that love. So if you are searching for how to reconnect with yourself, there's a lot that you can do in terms of practical things of beginning habit change and all sorts of stuff. But I think a deeper and more significant change is to not say, you know, how can I reconstruct a disordered life? But rather begin to say, how can I live into the reality of God's love? God's absolute love for me and for others. How can I make this my banner? How can I live this in my life, in my interactions? What in the way that you deal with your children teaches them that love is the most important value, the way that their life should be ordered? What is it that you do in your relationships that tells your spouse that you are about love and about grace? And when it comes down to it, you could lose your house and everything, but with that love of God and that, there would be enough. How could you live not out of fear and a desire to prove yourself to others, but a desire to be an emblem of love, an example of God's love? When we begin the process of allowing God to reorder our life in that way, well, then there is no pandemic that can disconnect us. There is no situation that can move us. Paul will later write, there is nothing that can separate us from the love of God. Well, thank you for joining me this week as we have talked about reconnecting to God. There's a lot of ways that you might allow the love of God to reorder your life and to reconnect you to who you truly are, or perhaps connect you for the first time to who you truly are. One of the things is that we believe is this is not an instantaneous process, at least not usually. It's a process of slowly kind of releasing the striving to the grip on desire for the life that we think that we want, to allow God to reorder that. It's a process of surrender, saying that it's enough to be an agent of God's love in this world. And so if that's where you are and you want to talk about that more, or you want to pray about that, reach out to us in this video or in through any means on our website, or if you're in the area, in the church itself, and we would love to walk alongside you in that.